Amen. If you would be, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 22. And I count it a privilege to be able to stand before you tonight. We want to please the Lord in everything that we do. And I appreciate you being here tonight. Most of all, I appreciate the Lord being here. And I want Him to be glorified and honored in our message tonight. And so tonight, I'm not going to ask you to stand because I'm going to read quite a bit tonight here in Genesis chapter 22, very familiar text. And there's a certain subject I want to deal with. And when I come across the passage, I'll say a word or two about what we're going to focus on. But I want to read the biggest part of this chapter to give us a little context of what we're talking about tonight. Genesis chapter 22. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." That word worship is what I'm interested in tonight, looking at worship. And so in verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." So let's pray tonight and ask for the Lord's help on the message. God, we ask that you would help us tonight, God, and that in this message Jesus Christ would be glorified and honored. And we ask that you'd speak to us and through us tonight, and that the Christians be edified. And Lord, that if there's been one lost here in our presence tonight, God, you'd speak to them, show them their need of salvation through and by and only the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to you repentance and faith, trusting in you to save them before it's everlasting too late. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd like to just start out here in verse number 1 and talk about the word tempt that's mentioned here. It says in verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now, normally the word tempt, as we know it, means to incite or solicit to an evil act. Now, we'll see here in this passage, that's not what God is doing, amen? He's not trying to get Abraham to sin. I'll tell you an example of tempting. As I was studying this, I thought about Brother Bob back there. You know, I'm on this diet, you see, and I've been trying to cut back. And every time I talk to Bob, he's got to tell me about the biscuits and gravy he's eating and the fried fish and all this stuff. He'll say, did I tell you about that new restaurant we eat at? And He's tempting me, amen. I told him if I can lose 10 pounds, we'll go somewhere and eat real good. But anyway, he probably didn't even know I was on diet. But, amen, that's temptation. But the temptation that the Bible talks about when it talks about the devil tempting us, it's a lot more serious than that, amen. But here, I want to just take my time getting into this and give an example of how when we study the Word of God, that needs to be rightly divided, and how that we need to study to show ourselves approved and to look at the text and let the text define what a word means. And so, first of all, we look at context. Amen? If you want to know what a word means, if something if it don't make any sense to you, you don't understand it, the best thing to figure out what it means is to look at what's around it. Look at the chapter leading up to it. Look at the chapter in its place. You know, a lot of cults today, a lot of false religions, they base off their whole religion and their practices off of pulling maybe one verse out of its place without putting it in the context of what it's in. And so the context here we see very clearly that God did not try to get him to sin. This was not God trying to get him to do something that was beyond what was allowed. God was testing him. So we study context, we do word studies, and this is kind of some things that we talked about in our Sunday school class when we study. We do context, and secondly, we do word study. And if you have a Strong's concordance, you can go back and see that Hebrew word is used, it's used here as tempt, but it's also used 20 other times as the word prove. And so God is proving Abraham. And like I said, when we're not trying to change the meaning of a word when we go look up these things and study. It has to fit the context. Don't ever take a word out of the Bible, and if we talk about Greek and Hebrew and all that, don't never change the meaning of a word if it conflicts with the context. Let it support, the context support the meaning. And so you can have a clear understanding of what it's talking about. So here we could say it's a proving, a testing. And so not only that, context and word study, but we compare Scripture with Scripture. And in the New Testament in Hebrews 11 and 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, amen, he was tried of God, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And also in James chapter 1 and 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. This was a test of Abraham's faith. And I'll ask you tonight, does your faith ever get tested? It's been said that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we will have to go through those trials and tribulations and testings of our faith. And there was a reason why Abraham is mentioned, and actually twice he's mentioned there in Hebrews chapter number 11, what we call the Hall of Faith chapter, is because his faith was tested many times. Amen. And a faith that's tested is one that's been proven. Amen. God's going to find out if what you've got's real. Amen. And people around you is going to know if what you've got's real. Amen. It can be tested and it can be tried. And the difference of, amen, saving faith and just mere belief in the existence of God. Amen. Or historical faith, you might call it, just in the believing in the existence of God. Amen. The difference is that Christians will grow by testing. They'll grow by that trial that they go through. But those who are not of faith, amen, will only break down and will not be able to hold, amen, to the test. A feller by the name of J. Sidlow Baxter said, when the devil tempts, it is that the tempted may fall. But when God tests, it is that the tested may stand. It's easy to talk about the trial of your faith. And a matter of fact, it's easy to preach about it. But I'll tell you what's hard is living it. Amen. You can talk about stuff all day long. You know people like that. They can talk about things, and if you listen to what they say, they can do anything. But when it really comes down to doing it, can it really be done? And so when it comes to living it, amen, we'll have to go through those trials and tribulations. And Abraham certainly went through many that proved his faith and that proved that it was true and that he had saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse number 2 it says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And so here he's talking about his only son Isaac. It's mentioned in this passage what he calls him. In the New Testament, as we read, he's referenced as his only begotten. And even though he had Ishmael, that was sort of his mess up. Amen. Isaac was the one through Sarah. That was the chosen seed. That was the promised seed. And that was the one that God had blessed. And so, in a way, Abraham had already lost a lot. He went through all these trials. And I thought about him and Lot. Amen. How that God used him to deliver Lot out of Sodom. Amen. And how that it seems that he was almost like a son to him. And then he forsook him for Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham delivered him, and he still went away from him. And so imagine the loss that he felt in that. And so we see that. We also see, I believe, here the loss of his son in a way of Ishmael. And now God is telling him to offer his only son, his only begotten son, Isaac. And so and it was a very special place here. It's mentioned the land of Moriah. And so it was a place in which God told him to go. But before he went, God didn't tell him exactly where he had to go. And that's the way it is in life with you and I sometimes. God tells us to go somewhere, but he don't tell us exactly where. Amen. We don't have to know. Amen. We just got to put our faith and trust in him. Hebrews 11 and 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Amen. God just wants us to trust him, to obey him. Amen. We don't always see the big picture. I'm sure Abraham couldn't see the big picture of what he had in store for him way out there. But you know what? He trusted God, and that's what he wants from us. And so this Moriah we'll talk about here in a minute, and I believe it was a very special place in her life. And I believe some of those special places in our lives, we don't recognize that it's that special until you're looking back on it. You think about how that God moved and how that God brought you through that time, and God brought you through that trial, and you look back on it as being a special place, but at the time it's not very special to you, but you look back on it. And so here in verse number 3 it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." And so we're talking about the word worship. And I want to talk about faith and how that this is a great picture of faith. You see, there's a different idea today about what faith is. They'll illustrate faith as jumping out into the darkness, into the unknown. But it's much different than that. Faith is going into the light. Faith is going into the known, what's been revealed to you by God. But that's the key. It's not revealed by the flesh, amen, or by these natural eyes. But it's trusting in the things that are revealed by God. And I believe that he was trusting here, and for a long time I never did see this in this passage of Scripture. But I believe even here, we don't even have to see what the New Testament says about it, but I believe that he had the faith to believe that not only he was going to come back off of that mountain to those men, but that him and his son Isaac were going to come off of that mountain. Look at it there again, and he says, And verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He didn't say it's just me going to come back. I believe he had faith, amen, that God was going to raise him from the dead, amen, that God was going to bring him up, amen, whatever it took. God promised him that son. God promised him that that would be the seed, the chosen one, amen, and he believed, and the New Testament tells us he accounted that God could bring him from the dead. So he told him at first, well, we'll be back directly, amen. And so he trusted God. And like I said, faith is not leaping into the darkness, but he was leaping into the promise of God. He was trusting in God's promise. And so here in verse number 5, we see the word worship. And this is the first mention of the word worship in the King James Bible. And I believe that with great significance, we find Genesis as the book of beginnings. And that's what Genesis means, beginning. And we see many things started in the book of Genesis. And here, there's a terminology that they call the law of first mention. And that law of first mention, when you see a word in the Bible, that word will carry the same meaning and principles all throughout the Scriptures, even into the New Testament, amen, of things that you'll find around that meaning and around that word that has that meaning it carries all throughout the Scriptures. And here I believe we'll see a lot of things here in this passage pertaining to worship. And so tonight, number one, you can't have worship without Calvary. Amen. You can't have worship without Calvary. Here, and I, like our pastor will say a lot of things, I won't have to be dogmatic about this, and really a lot of it relies upon maybe some scholar or archaeologist or something, but here it talks about the land of Moriah. And where the Temple Mount sits today is called Mount Moriah. And so I'm convinced, and from what I've studied and seen, and I'm convinced it's very likely and very possible, and I believe it is so, amen, that 1,000 years later after this is where King David bought the threshing floor of Anariah, the Jebusite, and built an altar there to the Lord. And I believe it's the same place, or at least in the same vicinity, in the same area. It's called Moriah, that area. And so we see that similarity. And then sometime later, amen, King Solomon built the temple there upon the Temple Mount, what's called Mount Moriah. Amen. And then later, and today is where the Temple Mount is there in Jerusalem. Amen. Where the Dome of the Rock is and all that. But friend, one day all that will be wiped out of there. And there will be the Millennial Temple. And Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of His Father David and rule and reign with the rod of iron for 1,000 years. And so I believe that it's very possible that Mount Moriah and the place of the skull is in the close vicinity. So I believe it was very possible, amen, that Calvary itself, amen, was right there on the same hill and the same ridge where Isaac was offered up, amen, in typology and as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that comparison. Amen. We're talking about worship. You can't have worship without Calvary. Amen. And we see in verse number 6 that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Amen. So he carried this wood, amen, up to this place called Moriah that God had showed him. Amen. And I find it no coincidence that Jesus Christ bore his cross, amen, to Calvary. Amen. And we see a great picture here of Calvary and of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here also it talks about 3 days. It says that it had been 3 days. Amen. How that he might as well have been dead. And on the third day is when Abraham, as it were, received him from the dead. Amen. You can't make this stuff up. Amen. You can't. This is all, it fits together to point to, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on, Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. I say thank God for Calvary. Amen. I like the song that says, thank God for Calvary. Amen. I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. Thanks to Calvary. Amen. I don't go to those places anymore. Amen. Calvary is what makes a difference. Amen. And in the thought tonight of considering worship and what it means to worship, amen, it's just simply tonight you won't be able to worship. You couldn't worship if it wasn't for Calvary. Amen. We don't worship, amen, a physical cross. But friend, we look back to Calvary and we think about what Jesus done. We think about the nails that they drove in his hand. Amen, that how they pierced him in his side, how they suffered. They put the crown of thorns on his head. It'll give us something to worship about. Amen. It'll give us something, amen, to praise him about. Amen, you can't worship without Calvary. The disciples had seen his miracles. They'd seen the many things that he had done, and all the miraculous wonders that took place. But I believe them disciples realized that those miracles couldn't save them. Amen. None of that could save them. It took Calvary. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Amen. It took Calvary. You can't have worship without Calvary. Number two tonight, man was placed aside when it come to worship. He told them fellows that was with him, he said, y'all wait here. And so when it come to Calvary, when Jesus was dying upon the cross, there was darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And the transaction that took place there was between Jesus Christ and God the Father. Amen. And you know what? You wasn't there. I wasn't there to put in my 2 cents, put in my works, and put in what I thought and what I this and that. No, that took place at Calvary. The complete redemptive work, amen, that saves my soul, amen, that keeps me from going to hell, amen, was carried out completely by the Lord Jesus Christ, fully apart from what man could do, amen, fully apart from what man has done. It was all done by him there at Calvary, amen, and I thank God for that. But here on this place that Abraham went to, amen, they went there to worship, and I see here that, you know, a lot of the times we think about worship, and we think about worship is synonymous with church. And we ought to worship when we come to church. And I'm not saying that church is not, that we don't worship when we come to church. But it doesn't have to only be worship when we come to church. There was no pulpit here on top of this mountain. There was no choir loft. And again, amen, there ought to be a lot of worshiping going on up here in this choir loft, but they didn't have to have a choir loft to worship up on that mountain, amen. They didn't have to have anybody up there preaching, amen. They didn't have to have any pews up there. But friend, what they had was obedience to God. What they had was, amen, trust in God Almighty. Amen. And they had a picture of the cross, and looking to, amen, the coming Messiah to take away their sins, and they had the blood, amen. And so in the church world today, they got what's called praise teams, worship teams, and all this stuff. He said, well, you have a praise team? Well, yeah, we do. It ought to be everybody. Amen. We ought to praise him. Every one of us ought to worship him. Here, they put man aside and say, look, it's between us and God. This worship is between me and the Father. Amen. Between us and God Almighty. Amen. Man didn't have anything to do with it. That ought to be how when we come to church, we lay our flesh aside. We lay our feelings aside and lay what man thinks aside and just look to him. Amen. Worship him. We don't need some team to hype us up, amen. It ought not to be like that anyhow. We're to look to him. Look to Calvary. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so we see here that thought of worship and how that is kind of mixed up today, how it's looked at. We ought to be able to worship at the workplace. Worship going down the road in the car. I thank God for some of these songs you can look up, amen, and they'll bless your heart. Amen. Well, I've been listening to one. I'm taking a flight one day. Thank God for that flight. Look, I'm going to leave out of here one day. Oh, you can just worship and listen to those songs. You can. We've got access to so much stuff that'll bless your heart and bless your soul. Amen. But we use it for the wrong things sometimes. Amen. We can worship all the time. We got the Word of God. We can get in this Bible. That's some of the best worshiping you ever do, is just in your quiet place, reading, just letting God speak to you, let God bless you. Amen. Maybe even start off. Sometimes I'll study, and I'll get out the old Redback hymnal, Brother Dale, just say, Lord, I want to hear from you. Maybe just even whisper the words to a song there in my place of study. and just worship the Lord there by myself. Some of the best worship I've ever done, I believe, is just me and the Lord. Amen. So worship, I believe, involves putting man to the side and focusing on Jesus Christ. And when it comes to salvation, Jesus did it all at Calvary, and man didn't have anything to do with it. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hey, some churches, all they have is truth, no spirit. Hey, some churches, all they think they have is spirit, but there's no truth there. Amen. There needs to be that balance, spirit and in truth. That's how we worship him. And lastly, tonight, I'm sure there's a lot more that we could say, but you can't worship without a lamb. Verses 7 and 8, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Boy, what a question. Where is the lamb? We need to ask that question. We walk in this place tonight. Where's the lamb? Is he, amen, in a place of preeminence, as the Bible teaches us to place him? Is he in a place, is he first place? Amen. Talking about Jesus Christ, is he being put forth as first? Or is he put to the side somewhere? He said, Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And so he knew, Isaac knew, in order for there to be worship. See, he was familiar with these things. Abraham, he built altars. He worshiped God. He prayed and sacrificed and so forth. And so Isaac was familiar with this, and he knew in order for there to be worship, there had to be bloodshed. He knew that there was going to have to something give its life. And so he said, Where's the lamb? Where's the offering at that we're going to give? And I suppose that later on, whenever that ram was caught in the thicket and he saw that blood, that was supposed to have been his. Boy, he had a good reason to worship, didn't he? Amen. We ought to think about Calvary today when we look at the cross and we look at the blood that was shed and we look at the empty tomb and all that. It gives us reason to worship. Amen. To lift up our hands and praise God. The Bible says, Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. Silent worship, that's okay. But, I mean, the Bible says, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I say it's in order every now and then just to, amen, give God praise. Verbally give God praise and thank Him, amen, for what He's done for us in our lives. Amen. I believe that Isaac could have sang the song, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Could you imagine, I mean, facing death, and then God providing a substitution, amen, instead of you having to die. That's what Jesus did, amen. He died in our place. We deserve to die. We deserve to have the punishment and the torture and everything else. Matter of fact, we deserved hell. But thank God He took that for you and I. And so the Lamb of God, you can't worship without a lamb. That lamb, there's been pictures of that lamb all throughout the Bible, the Word of God, even way back before the beginning. The Bible says, For as much you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, or the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, and manifest in these last times for you. Amen. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, this cross, this blood, and all this wasn't God's backup plan. God had all that sorted out and figured out a long time ago. Amen. I believe he was Adam's lamb. You say, well, there's no mention of a lamb there in Genesis and Adam. Well, whenever God clothed them and coats of skin, something had to give its life, amen, to clothe them. And that clothing become their propitiation, amen, that satisfied God. And you know what? Jesus Christ, He is our propitiation today. He's the one that covers us. He's the one, but through Him, God is able to look on us and be pleased with us, amen, because He's the one that washed our sins away. And not only that, we're clothed in His righteousness, just as Abraham believed God. Amen. And it was added to his account. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen. He was the substitutional lamb here. Amen. For Abraham and Isaac. Amen. And we see a great picture of this. Amen. For Moses. Amen. He was the Passover lamb. Amen. That was kept from the 10th to the 14th day. I believe the significance there in that lamb is that there was plenty of time for them to figure out if there's any fault in that lamb. Amen. It was a spotless lamb, and certainly Jesus Christ, He is and was that spotless lamb. Amen. Who was slain before the foundations of the world. And for John the Baptist, He was the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And I'm glad. I want to read a verse of Scripture tonight, sort of in closing. The lamb in eternity. You can't worship without the lamb. Oh, and they worship Him in eternity. Amen. We'll worship Him all throughout eternity. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth. You see, Isaac, he wasn't able to open the seals. He wasn't worthy. Adam wasn't worthy. Noah wasn't worthy. Amen. Moses wasn't worthy. Abraham wasn't worthy. Isaac wasn't worthy. Jacob wasn't worthy. None of the prophets were worthy. None of the kings, none of the judges. Amen. None of them was worthy. Not even John the Baptist. But boy, that Christ, that Lamb, He's worthy. He said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." In verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." You say, hold on, I thought you was talking about a lamb. There's a lion. Just hold on a minute, amen. Verse 6, "And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, and sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song." But Dale, I know while we're doing this singing school, we're getting practiced up, ain't we? Amen. For what it's going to be like throughout eternity. Amen. "Sung a new song, praise God. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and of every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Let me tell you something tonight, friend. We've got great reason, amen, to worship Him. Amen. He's taken our sins away. Amen. He's placed us, amen, into the body of Christ. We've been given life eternal. Amen. We shall never die. He's given us the new birth. He's given us a church. He's given us a home in heaven. Amen. We should worship Him. Not just when the sun's shining, but in those dark times, we can still worship Him. In the times of trials, we can still worship Him. The times of testing, we can still worship Him and look to Him. You know, for a long time I'd read this text, Genesis 22, I'd sort of read it wrong. I always read it there whenever he told Isaac, he said, "Where's the lamb?" And the verse 8 says, "Abraham, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." I always read it like this. God will provide a lamb for Himself. That's how it sort of come across in my head, that God was going to provide a lamb for Himself. But God will provide Himself a lamb. And that God will provide Himself as Jesus Christ, the Lamb. God sent Himself. God said, "There's nobody else that can save you, so I'm going to come down and save you." That's what Jesus did. And thank God for that. Amen. Oh, and there's so much typology, so many pictures here that you can see. Isaac's not seen after chapter number 22 until chapter 24 when he receives a bride. You know what Jesus said? He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's going to receive us as a spotless bride one of these days. After a while, we'll meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready to meet Him? You know, if you're lost, you can't worship God. There's a lot of people that's lost are trying to worship God. They talk about worship. They say they talk to God every day. Well, if you're lost, you can't talk to God. The access was made at Calvary. The veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, making access into the holiest of holies. But if you're not saved, amen, you can't go in. You have to go in with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied on your life. The Bible even says if you regard iniquity in your heart, He will not hear you. I believe that applies to our walk as a Christian too. Amen. If you hide sin in your heart, you're going to have hindered prayers. Amen. Amen. We just had a few thoughts about worship tonight and wanted to share our heart with you concerning worship. The first mention of worship in your King James Bible, and it's very important to see that it began with a test here. Abraham was tested, and so whenever you're tested, whatever you're going through, just know God has a purpose in it. God has a plan. Don't go blaming the devil for it. Say, the old devil, he done this, done that. Well, if he tempts you, yeah, he done that. But if you're going through hard times, trials, whatever it may be, just say, Lord, I trust you. And Abraham, he obeyed God. No, not where he went, the Bible says. And we can do the same. Trust the Lord and worship Him. Amen. Worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray tonight. God, we thank you for the precious word of God. We ask that you would speak to us tonight. God, help us to draw closer to you. And God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.